So, starting with Inyan Chanukah today. So, Kedarkenu, I want to try to go through a few sort of short, little topics, interesting different things, and then try to tackle some bigger topics also. So, one of the just questions that gets asked in terms of Chanukah is the question of Sudot, you know, of Simcha on Chanukah, and the first thing is a big machlokes is shown about this. Quoted in the mostly Chachmei Ashkenaz debate, the question of whether, you know, they assume that we eat special fancy meals on Chanukah parties. The question is that a mitzvah or not? So it's a machlokes among the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and the Shulchan Aruch says in page one here, Ribu Sudot Shemarvim Mehem Sudot Reshut Shlo Kvaum L'Mishtev Simcha. Says the Chanukah parties are totally optional; they're not considered Sudot mitzvah at all. The Ramah disagrees or quotes a dissenting opinion. Yes, Amrim, Shesh Ktzat Mitzvah B'Ruah Sudot Mishum De'Otan Yamim Haya Chanukat Mizbeach. So some say that there is an element of mitzvah in the Sudot, and so the Ramah's conclusion is in the next page, Noagim Lomar Zmirot V'Tishbachot V'Sudot Shemarvim Behem Vaza V'Sudot Mitzvah. So I think this is the Pshat of Maram Rutenberg, if I'm not mistaken, to check exactly. Right, that the minhag is that we transform them into Sudat Mitzvah by singing Zmirot Tishbachot, right, making them spiritual occasions. Then everyone will agree that they're Sudat Mitzvah, right? So the Rama quotes minhag Ashkenaz is to sort of construct Sudat Mitzvah during Chanukah. Other interesting thing, the Rama quotes also about this food on Chanukah. Doing a lot of food lately. Yes, Rambam says there's lechol gvina b'chanukah l'vishenes nase b'chalav shehechila yehudit et ha'oyev. So it's a minhag to eat cheese on Chanukah. Why? Because the miracle is brought about. Part of the story was brought about through a dairy product that Yehudit fed to the enemy general. So therefore, in memory of that, to eat dairy products.
Who should feed it to again?
I think it's I think Antiochus, if not mistaken. But okay. have to see in the sfarim. So these are two points in the Rama. One, that the minhag is to have sudot, and to transform them into a mitzvah. The second is the piece about the dairy food. So whenever we have a Rama, we always look to the Shtilei Zetim to see, do we have that Rama? So Shlei Zetim in third page quotes the Rama. As you can see, he quotes the Rama. Doesn't cut it out. You look in the bottom note, in this nice edition, they have like Ha'arot, put out by the editors. I'm not sure how reliable they are, but they often seem to fit with what other people say also. So they have the notes on the bottom. They say, but Teman lo nagu b'dvarim shekatav Ramaka. In other words, Teman, there was no minhag to have sudot, and there was no minhag to have dairy products. Avad b'chein, Rabbein lo yishmito, kevin to Ramaka, tav l'shon yeshomrim. He says you have to be careful. Whenever the Shtilei Zetim leaves something in, sometimes Shtilei Zetim is not bothered to leave something in if the Rama said it, Yesh Omrim, which is how it started. Here we didn't have the whole first page of the Shtilei Zetim, but if the Rama introduces what he's saying, B'Loshon Yesh Omrim, so it's not as important to cut it out because nobody's going to assume that the Rama necessarily agrees with the Shulchan Aruch. So therefore he didn't bother cutting it out. But Lamaseh, he's Me'id, the editors of the Shtilei Zetim, say that there was no such minhag. And Rav Tzabi says that also on page 4.
Who wrote the Shtilei Zetim again?
That's Rav David Mushruki, the Rebbe of the Maritz. Rav David Mushruki. Mizrahi. Mushruki is Mizrahi in Arabic. He's the Rebbe of the Shtilei Zetim. Of the Maritz. So remember, when we taught our introduction, he's the one who goes more like Shulchan Aruch. And the Maritz is the one who goes more like the Rambam. More like the Minhag, we should say. More correct. So, also Rav Tzabi on page 4 also testifies that there was not a minhag to have su'udot. You can see on the first arah, not just it wasn't considered su'udot, but they didn't have any special occasions. And not only just as yadua, again, this is pretty good conversation. You know, in Halichot Teman it says a similar thing. Rav Kaba Halichot Teman also says that nobody... Nobody made parties on Chanukah. They didn't have Sudat. It was like a weekday. Aside from Halal and Hadlakat Nerot, it wasn't really observed as any special occasion. Also, Brandon, what about the dairy products and all the other things people eat on Chanukah? So you're saying the second era So Masha Bikzat Kilod no agon machle chalav b'chanukah zech l'nes shenas adi chalav sheichila yudit malach yavan lo naguzo b'kiladinu, just like it's in the footnote. So there's no minhag to have dairy products either. Also in the footnote here, yadua and yudalef yadua. Afu d'shalosh mitosh tilei zetim. Interesting thing here. Now he says a little footnote here. It's interesting. He says Masha yesh choshim shenagu b'chanukah la'arbot v'achilat priya gezer. They used to eat a lot of carrots in Teman on Chanukah. Carrots, never does this thing, right? Yimtziu tam al shem shenitzlu me'gzerot yavan. Funny thing, except that Gezer is not wasn't called Gezer in Arabic anyway, so the whole thing makes no sense anyway. Zeino rak mishum shetiman azay tchilat onato shel prize. Chen avagoyim shem ochlim oto az. Nah, there was no minhag to eat. That was the carrot season. So yeah, this is the way people get confused with minhagim. In Halachot Teman, he actually describes how the children would eat like these like special carrot desserts. You know, he doesn't say it's a minhag, but perhaps I guess some people thought it was. So, but he says here about sufganiyot also, about donuts. Also, we didn't have such a minhag. There really was no special Hanukkah food in Teman. There was no special Hanukkah events, celebrations. It just didn't exist. Sevivon also, the dreidel we didn't have either. That's minhag Ashkenaz. So all these things didn't exist over there. Doesn't mean any of them are bad, chas v'chalila, but just to know, I think there's actually a source for the minhag of eating donuts, fried donuts on Chanukah from a letter of the father of the Rambam. It's like a famous source somebody discovered. I think the Nita Gabriel just discovered this famous source. But either way, that notwithstanding, we never had any of these minhagim. So now, L'chora, this is a problem. Because why? Because one of the reasons why there's an inyan of Sudot on Chanukah is because they quote that the Rambam seems to hold that you have to eat Sudot on Chanukah. You have to eat festive meals on Chanukah. Where do we get that? Where do they get that from? So the Rambam on page 5 here, in Ilchot Chanukah Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, when he's describing the institution of the Halacha of Chanukah, he says, "Tekinu chachmi shvato ador, shiyu shmonat yamim elu, שתחילתן מילל חמש, חמש שבע עשרים בכסלב, ימי שמחה והלל. מדליקין בהנרות, הרבה רבות פתחי בתים בכל לילה ולילה, משמונת הלילות, להראות לגלות הנס. וימים אלו נקראים חנוכה, אשר בהספד ותענית כמי הפורים. הלילה נראית בין מצווה ודיסרים, כקריאת המגילה." So, a lot going on in this Rambam. We're not going to analyze the whole thing. But at the end, he certainly says there's an Isra Esped ותענית, that's a Gemara. That already indicates a certain festive mood. When, like, same as Rosh Chodesh, certain festive mood that we don't allow eulogies or fasting on Chanukah. But the key point here is that he said that on the 25th, from the 8 days starting the 25th of Kislev are Yemei Simcha V'Halel, days of joy and praise. Right. So what is this Yemei Simcha? Yemei Simcha. That's a very strange thing. The Gemara never says that there's Simcha on Chanukah. So it sounds like somebody showing me definitely seems to think they were. The Rambam is most famous among them, and all the Achronim try to figure out what the source of the Rambam could be. So they have a lot of different suggestions. I'm not going to go through them, but just to add one point that Rav Tzavi points out, it could be that the source of the Rambam might have been a work that's called Megillat Bnei Chashmonai, or Chashmunai in the Temani tradition. Megillat Bnei Chashmonai, or sometimes called Megillat Antiochus. Right, which is a work that was originally written in Aramaic. Most editions are in Hebrew, but this was put out by Rav Tzabi in a little book called Shemen Lama'or, where it's like the original Aramaic nosach of Megillat Antiochus or Megillat Bnei Chashmonai. Not to be confused with the Book of Maccabees, which is not in favor in the Jewish canon. Megillat Bnei Chashmonai is. And the Rav Saadia Gaon says it was written by the sons of Matityahu themselves. Others say it might be later, it might be written by the Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Others say it's even later, during the time of the Gaonim. Either way, it's an important work, and it records the whole story of Chanukah. Megillah records the whole story of Chanukah. Temanim actually have minhag to read it on Shabbat Chanukah in Shul, in Beit Knesset after Haftarah. Such a minhag, also mentioned in Tosfot Rid, an Italian minhag. But either way, when the conclusion of the story is reached, and the takana of Chanukah is described, so you have here on page 6, Al ken kaimu bnei chashmonai, haden keamava saru haden esara inun bnei Israel kulhon, that they bnei chashmonai made this takana, Lo da'alim ne'israel mevada den tamanyayim min chedvav ikar. So to tell all the Jewish people to make these 8 days, days off, chedva v'ikar, simcha v'kavod, right? Gladness and honor. Kiyomei modaya d'chtivin baraita, just like the holidays written in the Torah, lad l'kabahon, to light the candles. You see, this is a very Jewish source, because it mentions the miracle of the oil earlier, it mentions the takana of lighting candles. Loda l'man d'yeyte batrihon are avad lo nelahon purkana min shmaya. To teach the coming generations that there was a miracle. Behon, lo misbit, lo migzat soma, v'chol gvardi ye'aloi nidra, yishal mine. Right? Interesting mention of being Meshalim Nedarim during the time of Mikdash, presumably. But he says, Chidva v'ikar, it's interesting, Rav Tzadi points out that no, we didn't hear anywhere anyone say that on Hanukkah there's a mitzvah of yikar, of kavod, that on holidays that usually translates as having to dress nicely. Lo shamanu v'lo ra'inu, anyone who ever said such a thing, or anyone who has ever known such a thing. Interesting point. But chedva, that could be the source, that could be a source for the Rambam to add to all the excellent suggestions of the Achronim. But, so what? So why are we getting into all of this? We wanted to know about Seudot. So the Marshal, on page 7 in the Yamshal Shlomo, says as follows. V'otan Seudot shosim b'mechanuka nir eshem Seudot mitzvah. Look at the Maram, Shepasak Shin Sudot Rishut, De Lohodot Lalin Tekunot. Not like the Maram Rottenberg, who said the Sudot are Sudot Rishut. Velo L'mishtav Simcha. Ela K'devi Rambam, Shen Yimei Simcha V'ela. He says, according to the Rambam, the Sudot you have on Chanukah, Sudot Mitzvah, and you're required to have Sudot on Chanukah. So now it turns out that Armin Hanuk somehow is not following the Rambam, which is funny. You know, you would think if we had some kind of old Minhag, it might follow the Rambam. Well, you say we follow the Shulchan Aruch, except the Shulchan Aruch. But nevertheless, it's unusual and worthy of comment. Is there any way to be miyashiv? So I didn't manage to find the original source, but I saw they quote from the Chazanish and the Brisker Rav a different understanding of the Rambam against the Marshal, because the Rambam said Yemei Simcha VeHalel. That formulation is very different than what he says in Etzein Hilchot Yom Tov, that it's a mitzvah lismoach, right? So the person Rambam and Chazanish and Brisker Rav said, more or less, this is what they said. I think I didn't find the original. I think it's Tarash Bal Peh, but brought down in the Sfarim. They said that Yemei Simchah is different from Mitzvah Lismach. Mitzvah Lismach means that I have to do something in order to make myself happy, right? To express and my happiness, make myself happy however you want to see it, right? So I have to eat meat, drink wine, make a seudah, etc., etc. Yemei Simcha is telling you that the days are days of happiness. You don't have to do anything to make them days of happiness. But there is an Isur Hesped V'Ta'anit because that would disturb the happiness of these days. But not that there's a requirement to go out of your way and do something according to the Rambam. That's why he says, Yemei Simcha, there are days of happiness. Doesn't mean that another way of understanding the Rambam, to sort of say that the Rambam would agree with the Shulchan Aruch that there is no mitzvah laharbot b'simcha, just it is there are days of simcha. Okay. We always like to do our comparisons. So Ashkenazim, of course, will follow the Ramah. They have both minhag to have the sudo, they have minhag to have dairy products. We have neither. Sfaradim, you have seen page 8 in Chazon of Adya says, Yeshomrim, that the sudot, asudot rishut, yesh cholkim, sheyesh mitzvah. And he says, the minhag, no, give Lord the service, you want to show the sudot alalu. So he says, the minhag is to have the sudot and to make him special. So you see here.
So Sfaradim do have this.
You mean hakta the sudot, and even more than that, in Dalit on page 10 they say yesh noagi. He says yesh noagi l'arbot machalei gvina, right? We have cheese. Yeah, chayom noagi lechol sufganiyot. We're talking about Shabbos. It's kayom nowadays. We have the donuts. Guess that wasn't before. V'chol masech yul l'shem shemaim. It's a good way to end. Whatever you do, that same can go for us also. Kol masech yul l'shem shemaim. If having sufganiyot and having dairy products and having sevivon and this and that is, you know, it's all conducive to feeling the spirit of Hanukkah, then matov manaim. But Rav Adya, at least for Sfaradim, says that they follow all these minhagim, which is, even though it's in the Ramah, that nevertheless they follow these minhagim.
Where did the minhag for having oil come from?
So that's why I said the oil, the sufganiyot bintuk number 7. This is the no one ever knew where it came from until I think the Nite Gavriel, Rav Gavriel Tinner, dug up this reference. In a tshuva of Rabbeinu Maimon, the father of the Rambam, that says you have to be makpid. Every single minhag is holy. You have to be makpid on all the minhagim, even the minhag of having fried donuts on Hanukkah. So could be that there's no connection between that source and the minhag that the Ashkenazim brought with them. Could be that that they got it from there. It was continued throughout that whole time. But it's not mentioned in the Ramal, Shulchan Aruch, the classical Nosei Kelim, this idea of having oily foods.
And when he says v'tamam kitzvichit bidvash, is that saying like they both have this sort of taste, and therefore that's something that you're supposed to be eating?
I don't know. You know, if he says mituganim b'shemen, maybe I don't know. They're sweet kitzvichit bidvash. They're sweet. I don't know. He might just be a flourish. Ah, they're delicious.
Okay.
Delicious. You know, like the man. You know. Anyway. Okay, so that's our one topic, that's the Su'udot. Now getting into the mitzvah of Hadlakat Nerot. So we have a lot going on this page here, page 11. We're going to have to go back and forth. I don't want to Xerox it like many, many times. This is a very important daf, Chafalf Amud Bet in the Gemara. First, we'll talk about how many candles to light. So for that, we have the fourth arrow, third or fourth arrow, whichever you like in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan mitzvah Chanukah Ner Yishub Beito. Famous Gemara, right? The Mehadrin minimum three levels of the mitzvah. The Mehadrin, the basic mitzvah is one candle for the whole household. The Mehadrin second level is one candle per person, but staying the same each night. And the third level is to add candles from night to night. So here we have the question, famous Machloket Rishonim. Does it mean, does the third build off the second or build off the first? Right? In other words, do we add, do we have one candle, the third level, Madrin means you add one, light one candle the first night and add, but not one for each person at all. That's wiped out. Or no, it means that if you have five people in your house, the first night you light five, second night you light 10, third night you light 15. So Tosfot says, "Madrin min madrin, nira l'rid becham b'tel lo kaimi ela ner ishu beito." Tosfot says that he's talking about the first. It's going on the first level to add one and go up to eight, but not per person. Sheken yeshu teridur dika kerik shemosiv olecho mechaser shu kineged yamim nechnasim yotzim. Avli mosen ner l'kol echad fili yosiv mikan olech leke kerik sheis brushikach yesh bnei adam b'bayit. So Tosfot says, if you would have 5, 10, 15 going up like that, people wouldn't be able to work out what night of Hanukkah it is, right? Because because 10 could be, you know, the second night with five people, or the fifth night with two people, right? There's no way to tell. If it's a uniform thing, we go 1 to 8, everyone can always automatically tell which night of Hanukkah it is.
The Shita would only really make sense, I guess, though, if you didn't have them separated within a menorah. Because if you had, right, if you had all the candles out, then you wouldn't know. But if you had them in a menorah, then you would know.
Right, so that's something that the Puskim said. In other words, the Rama talks about different ways to like get around this concern. Because Minhag Ashkenaz is to light one menorah per person, let's say like that. Each person lights their own, say it like that. And they say, no, it's not a problem according to the Tosfot, because they're distinct, either by lighting them in different parts of the house, or by having separate menorahs, although sometimes you do get like a mass of lights all in one place. It's really would better for Ashkenazim to separate them out a little bit. That's Tosfos' proof that that's what the Gemara means. The Rambam famously disagrees, page 12. Right? Kama nerot umadlik b'chanukah mitzvah shiyei kol bayit u'bayit madlik ner achad ben shiyei anshei bayit merubin ben shayu bo'lo shalo haya bo'el adam echad. My darent mitzvah madlik nerot k'minyan shei bayit. So you shouldn't misunderstand, right? It almost sounds like the Rambam says, first night you light five, next night six, seven, eight, going up like that. That's not what he means. Because he says, next halacha ketzad. Harish and Shabbat, Esara, Roshim Adlik Esara, Nerot, Velel Shani Esrim, Velel Shlishi Shloshim, Ashim Samadlik, Velel Shmini Shmonim Nerot. Right? So you add each night another pack of candles commensurate to the number of people in the house, right? So now, of course, famously, the Shulchan Aruch rules like the Tosfot, and the Rama rules like the Rambam. So Taz says, oh, here we have an exception that the Sfaradim follow the Tosfot and the Ashkenazim follow the Rambam. But that's only part of the puzzle, because if you read the next halacha in the Rambam, again, Perek Dal Halacha Gimel, the Rambam himself tells you, Minhag Bashut B'chol Areinu B'Sfarad, he says the minhag in Spain, and he grew up in Spain. The minhag in Spain is to follow, I guess, to follow the Tosfot, it seems, to light one menorah for the entire house, going up from 1 to 8. So it's a pella. You know that. So it's not so simple to say, oh, the Sfaradim are following the Tosfot. The Sfaradim are also following the Rambam. They're following the minhag Sfarad. So what? And the Shtilei Zeitim leaves out the Rambam.
The Sfaradim are following.
They're following the minhag Sfarad that the Rambam brings down. But the problem is the minhag Sfarad is against the Rambam's own shita. The Rambam said you have to light 10, 20, 30. Minhag Sfarad is like 1, 2, 3, up to 8.
Right.
So the Minhag Sfarad is against the Rambam. So either the Rambam is changing his mind, he's from one line to the next, and now he's endorsing this new Minhag, or he's telling you that the Minhag is wrong, or it's not, you know, how can the Minhag be against the Rambam? You know, he should have said the Minhag is wrong, or he should have changed his opinion to fit the Minhag. Right?
Is Minhag Sfarad, though, for Sfaradim?
Minhag Sfarad, all this. So it happens to be that.
Spain.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The Rambam was a Sfaradi. But certainly in Teman, that was the Minhag. The Shtelei Zeitim points out, the Rav Tzvi points it out. The Shtelei Zeitim leaves out the Rama. I'm not aware of any Sephardic community, at least after the time of the acceptance of the Shulchan Aruch, that did anything differently. You know, and this is not just the Rambam's version of Minhag, right? There's other Sephardi Rishonim who attest to this Minhag. The Beit Yosef says they were still followed in his time, so it's pretty much universal. You have to do research to figure out was there any Sephardi community that didn't follow this shita, but that's the Rambam's position. And again, we have now the question that we don't understand. How can the Minhag be against the Rambam's own shita? So again, the Shtei Zeitim leaves out the Rambam. Take a look at page 15, and we'll flip back to page 12 in a moment. The Beit Yosef is bothered by this also. He says our minhag is like the Rambam said minhag Sfarad. He says, but he doesn't understand it, and he says nira sha'olam nogim ladlik ladu rishon nira chad mosif oleach mechol laila ad shebachronas sham hem shmona afil bnei bayit harbe enam osim yoter datam kedata tosvot. He sees like it seems like the minhag Sfarad. Our minhag says the Beit Yosef follows the Tosvot. So you can't blame the Taz for presenting the issue this way. This is not the Taz that the Beit Yosef himself says. Minhag Sfarad follows the Tosfot. So then the Rambam is always going to Mizakeh Shtar LeBeit Trei. He's telling you the halacha is you add 10, 20, 30, but the minhag is against the halacha. Okay, that's very strange. So we take back a look at the Lecha Mishneh. Lecha Mishneh back on page 12 also was bothered by this issue. So he asked the Kasha. So he says on the left hand side in the Lecha Mishneh on page 5 in the fifth line, Imken, he says minhag didan lafi dat rabenu lichora nira minhag betaut. Seems like it's a minhag taut. We should change it. Lichora bishlam elapirush mefarshim defarshim mehadrin mehadrin and madligin al nerachad v'fal tosvot nicha. So what's the pshat? Yesh lamar the mikol makom la minhag betaut. It's not minhag taut. Why? Because minhag taut. He says kevan davdin and kedin. He says two things. He says, first of all, you can't say it's minhag b'taut because are we yotzei the mitzvah? Yeah, we're yotzei the mitzvah. It's not a minhag b'taut. Minhag b'taut is when it's against the halacha. It's not against the halacha. It's just not called madrin min madrin. And he says, so basically we follow ner ishu b'to, but even though we follow ner ishu b'to, we like to add a little bit, and that's a compromised position that we have. Right? So in other words, we made up our own position. Not that we follow the Tosfot, but this is a balabatish, you know, so to speak, pshara, compromise. But really the most right thing to do would be to do 10, 20, 30. But the minhag is that we rely on the ikar adin, right? We rely on the ikar adin, where yotze the ner ishu beito, and then we have our own way of symbolizing the greater miracle.
Are you at a loss if everyone in the family lights candles?
Oh, so we'll speak about that a little later. Very good. Very excellent question.
Okay.
Excellent question. According to Tosfot, if you would jumble them all together, you would lose.
Right.
That we saw. What if you would separate them out? That we'll have to see. Okay. So initially I was very bothered by this. It's almost like the anti-Chanukah, you know, vort. Everyone says on Chanukah, the whole Jewish people follow Mehadrin, Rin Mehadrin, you know, and so on and so forth. And here we are, all the Sfaradim, Bebnei Dot Mizrach, really we're just relying on like Ner Ishu Beito. That's a, I didn't like that very much. So I was looking around to see if there's any other way to say this, to get out of this. So the Birkei Yosef, the Chidon, the Birkei Yosef, has a mahalach. It's a very complicated mahalach. I'm not sure I fully understand it. You have to read it very carefully on page 16. The Birkei Yosef of the Chidah says, he has, first has one mahalach, which is even harder to understand. But he says, oh, there shall the Yashav Kushat Reim, the Rav Eli Mizrahi, I guess, was one of the first to ask this question. The Ram Zalz, the Demaiti Kalani Madrin, Madrin, Beit Shamay or Mimchule, Kai Beina Neri Shabeto, Beina Mehadrin Ner Lekolechaz. He says, no, the Rambam doesn't mean that level 3 builds exclusively off level 2. It can build off either one. As you accomplish Madrin and Madrin either by building off the single candle or by building off the multiple candles. Either one is acceptable. Aye, but the Rambam didn't say that. The Rambam said 10, 20, 30. So he says, so he explains, right? And he explains why that would make sense, of course, which we understand why it would make sense that you could have either option, right? He says, when the Rambam says Madrin and Madrin, so Vem Olecha Kol Chalukah Me'ash Time, like we said, Nerish Beito, the Vechol Chadiyika Madrin Madrin. There's Madrin Madrin goes on either level. So the Rambam Veshana Mishnata V'derach Ktzara Shlo LaHarich LaShanot Arba Chalukot Machlok Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Trezimne. The Rambam just didn't want to have to spell it all out twice. Okay. Lari Tani Tani B'Ktzara Madrin Madrin Beit Shammai Amrim. Right? The Rambam wrote the first three levels, right? Beferush, Beravid Katva Shu Minhag, right? And the fourth he brought down as Minhag, but really that's also Madrin Madrin according to the Rambam, because it builds off the first level, which is also acceptable. It's also considered Madrin Madrin. Even the Rambam would agree. Okay.
So it's working, meaning the Minhag Sfarad that he's bringing down as well is also a Mahadrin.
Madrin, Mina Madrin, right? It's also the highest level. It's just the highest level, building off the first one, not the second one. Building off Neri Shabeto.
And how do we read this into the Rambam? We're saying...
So he says the Rambam he assumes the Rambam has to hold that the Minhag is a good Minhag. So it must be the Rambam held that this is also Madrin, Mina Madrin, just that he didn't want to spell it out at great length. So he just said that the Minhag is like that, and he figured that you would understand on your own that this is considered the fulfillment of Madrin, Mina Madrin. That seems, right? He explains why that would make the Rambam a sort of a unique shita, that the third level builds off either the first or the second, kind of like an optional thing.
Right.
So then he tries to give a hechrach in the Gemara why that should be so. Another possibility in the page 18 from the Maaseh Rokeach, a famous commentary on the Rambam, he quotes those who say that the Rambam is following the Minhag is like Tosfot. Quotes those who say that the Minhag, right? He quotes and that the Rambam sort of somehow is okay with this, right? And he quotes the Lechem Mishnah. He says, "L'dati achalusha ein echreach le'echad me'ashnei pirushim mistam yudivrei Rabbeinu." It's hard to say that the Rambam approved this minhag, that he held like that, that he changed his mind to hold like that. He said not that way. He just quoted the minhag. So, "Achen nira lo v'ashei nicham b'minagam kevin shekeni t'vashet b'chol Sfarad ma'atam amur." He says the minhag in Sfarad was like this. Now, this minhag in Sfarad was against the Rambam. The Rambam just felt he didn't want to change the minhag. So he said, you go ahead and do that. I have my shita, but I authorize you to follow. Almost like, you should follow the minhag against my own opinion. That's the way the Maaseh Rokeach explains that. How does that make any sense? Right? The Rambam wasn't afraid to speak his mind. So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchot Shmitah V'Yovel, famous Rambam, page 19, this way consistent with the Rambam's own approach to Psak Halacha in certain key areas. There's a famous Rambam, again, without going into all the details, the Rambam says, has one way of calculating when Shemitah should be, when the Shnat Shemitah should be, based on the Sugyot Negmara. And he points out that it seems like the Geonim disagreed. And the way Shemitah is observed in Eretz Israel is not like his calculation. It's a question of how you count the Yovel, not for now. But look what he says. He says, he says, my calculation I just gave you now comes out of the Gemara. Shnat Shemitah Yedu'ah Yimu for 70 Tzelagunim Van Sheretz Israel. Right? V'kulan lo manuel l'shnei Chorban. Right? So the Minhag of the Geonim and the people of Eretz Israel is to count differently from me. Right? And skip down. Val ze anu somchin uchfi cheshbon ze anu modin morin l'inyan masrot u'shvid u'shmitat ksafim. So he says, I pass it against my own shita. I tell people not to follow me. Follow the geonim. Follow the minhag. Why sha kabbalah v'amaseh amudim gedolim b'hora v'vein ra'u le'italot. The mesorah, tradition, and custom, maaseh meaning practical lived Judaism, those are great pillars in ruling on halachic matters, and you should follow those, even though it's against me. Interesting, the Ravad over here says no, you should follow the Rambam. So it's the one case where the Rambam passing against this shita, and the Ravad passing like the Rambam, right? I think Rosh Hashanah always likes to point that out. But the Ravad here passed like the Rambam. So, but anyway, the Rambam felt that if there's a minhag yadua vekavua, and big people said it, not stam, right? And everyone followed it. And that in many ways is the ikar. Again, you have to know what the limitations of the sfera are, not just any minhag, but, right? So if you go like the Maaser Rokeach, okay, it's like with the Rambam opened the Gemara, he learned that it meant 10, 20, 30. But he said, what can I do? The minhag is not that way. So he doesn't say, oh, and you should follow the minhag. He probably figures everyone's going to follow the minhag anyway. So, you know, that could be another explanation. The Rambam felt, and in that case, the minhag really would be, according to Tosfot, would really be according to different that different shita. Not Tosfot wasn't the first one to come up with it. It's a different point. That would be another acceptable pshat. That our minhag is just simply not like the understanding of the Rambam, but the Rambam himself had no problem with that.
I just wanted to point out, in the Gemara, when it says Ner Yishuv Beso, so that's like the first level, and then it says...
Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad.
Right, and then it says that Mahadrin Mena Mahadrin is right. That you would do. But if you're saying Mahadrin Mena Mahadrin, it does seem to be that it does
building
go,
on the Mahadrin, right.
Right, not, yeah. And not like...
The Pashup Shad, if you had the Gemara, I would have thought you would have said like the Rambam. That's probably why Tosfot has to give a reason why, no, we think it's going on the first level because it's going to be confusion. Right?
Okay.
But yeah, and Achinami. We have to look, you have to go through 16 if you can understand like the Chida, read that Birkei Yosef, see what this Hechuch and the Sugya is, that maybe it could be going on both. That's interesting. Now, just around that, the topic of how many candles, if they asked Rav Tzabi, could we light more menorahs? Anything wrong? If Shalah Nig Shekol Echad Mibar Bayit Yadlik Nerot Chanukah. Well, means our minhag is to follow the minhag Sfarad, right? But he says in the middle, he says Aim En Bezeh Chashash LeBracha LeVatala. First of all, if I have other people light menorah, this is going to be Bracha LeVatala maybe. Chen Bitul Mitzvah Brova Madrot Melech. I'm going to be Mevatel Mitzvah Brova Madrot. Everyone doing Mitzvah together. That's more of a beautiful kium. You're changing the minhag. That's a certain change minhagim. It's like you're saying that this is all the questioner. It's like you're saying that our ancestors were mistaken, right? Ritzavi responds very interestingly. He says, He says, how can you tell a person not to have a chumrah? Yeah, it's against the minhag. He says, first of all, he says, maybe you'll tell me you'll lose out because it's not nikar like Tosfot says. No, he says, nowadays, you light different places, you light different menorahs. There's a lot of solutions there. You know, that's not a problem. I actually saw in the Mayan Omer, Chelek Gimel, the true question they asked Rav Avadia. They said that if the kid lights his own menorah, that take away, and Rav Avadia was very dismissive. Of course it's not a problem. It doesn't take away from anything. We just hold that there's no need to do that. There's no need to do that, and we should teach that that's the halacha, that there's no need to do that, but a kid wants to light his own menorah. It's in separate menorahs, in different places. It's not going to take away anything. He says, what about the shinui minha? And he says, Bifrat, he says, your person looks like they're such a big tzaddik. They're being machmir against all the previous generations. He says, yeah, but if that din of URA, if arrogance, only applies if you do something in public. Do something in private. There's no URA. Shinui minhag asuru mechumra lakul. He says, you're changing the minhag? He says there's no issue to change minhag l'chumra. You be mekel against the minhag, that's issue of changing minhag. But to be more machmir privately against the minhag, there's no issue involved in that. And he says yachol amashav tein lo chmir. He says you can say our ancestors didn't observe this chumra. Livim matavahem, aval eidna yeshev atova bracha chas de Hashem drachaleinu. If they worship marabim or mahadrim begashmiut, kal v'chom beruchniut. It's a very important line in America, especially. Just like we're mehader in our gashmiut, we add so much gashmiut, more than they had in the previous years. Kal v'chom beruchniut, so why not add more in spirituality also? And then skip down, next paragraph, he says, however, he says, and this like Rav Shechter always points this out, whenever you're making a change in the minhag, chazakah that the minhag is correct. We always assume that the minhag is correct unless you can prove that what you're going to do now is better than the minhag. He says, so you have to judge, do you lose anything? So here he says, you don't lose anything by lighting, by taking away, you don't take away from the first menorah. That's not true. He says, what about the bracha? The other people in the house are going to make a bracha on the other menorah. That could be a bracha levatala. Even though it's not a bracha levatala, because they'll have kavanah not to be fulfill their obligation with the father, but the bracha shenatzricha, it could be yotzu with the father. Same thing you say about young girls lighting Shabbos candles, you know, with the mother, which is the Lubavitcher Rebbe pushed very hard, could be a problem. Bracha shenatzricha, there's no need for it. You have kavanah to be yotzu with the mother; that's sufficient. It's hard to say it's really a bracha shenatzricha with the let's say kiddush. If I make marriage kiddush, not a bracha shenatzricha, I'm being yotzei dechova, right? I'm choosing to, but in this case, it might be bracha shenatzricha, bracha levatala, even because it could be that the takana is for the house. If you point this out, it's a takana for the house. It's like if I put up my own, my father puts up a mezuzah, and I can also put up a mezuzah. That might even be bal tosif. Here's no bal tosif, but if you make a bracha on that mezuzah, it's for sure bracha levatala. The house is yotzei already. One menorah is necessary for the house. The other ones are not necessary. Not part of the mitzvah. This is a tinach. Next, tinach l'ashkenazim, sh'minagam kach. Come to the book of minhag l'amrin, savik brochot l'akel. So they have no problem. But the dachshon lo nagu was asur. So you say, that's an obvious response. So we'll do without a bracha. Kid wants light, so tell him not to make a bracha. He says, no. Ein lomar yadliku v'lo yivarchu. Chada shezem istama lo yiritzu l'shmo. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to make the bracha. They're going to feel nobody likes doing mitzvah without a bracha, right? The famous Sfirat Omer thing. Tell a person to count without a bracha. Yeah, unless they're ben Torah, they may well stop counting. Two, afilu yishmu zerakata. He says also you have to have roet anolad. You have to have long range vision here, right? Right now they'll listen. They're not going to make the bracha, but in future generations, if you make this like a institutionalized such a thing, so later on they will make the bracha. So again, this fits very much with Rav Shechter's approach that he has in Bikvei Atzon, that whenever you're changing anything, you must think not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but for a long time in the future. What is going to be the impact of this change? What is the motivation for this change? Do we lose anything halachically by this change? And what will be the impact of this change now and going forward? So, and again, the chazakah is the minhag is correct. So if I'm not sure about some issue in the change, it's better to stick with the minhag. So, just because we started late, maybe we go a little bit later also?
That's fine.
So, I wanted to cover, so that's the topic of how many candles we light. I wanted to talk about another little topic, and that is the topic of the menorah. Not the menorah in the Beit Mikdash, but the menorah that we use for Chanukah candles. Just parenthetically, Ratzabi is very insistent that people shouldn't call it a Chanukiah. Chanukiah, it's a modern word, invented word. It literally means a small Chanukah. He says, if you want to call it a small menorah, call it a menorah. If you wanted to make up a new word. But Chanukiah doesn't make any sense. And he says, I can't tell you how many times I had this sort of conversation with the Israelis, and they said, but the menorah is the menorah in the Beit Mikdash. I said, the word menorah means a candelabrum. It means nothing else. It's a place we put Nerot. So there's nothing wrong with calling Menorah. And for sure, that was the Minhag. All Jewish communities called it a Menorah. So whether you're a Kana'i about this, I saw it quoted in the English Yalkut Yosef, an introduction to Hanukkah. They said, Rav Tzabi says, they should call the Menorah. All right. So whether you're a Kana'i or not a Kana'i, you know, but it's an interesting point. In Teman, they called it a Menorah. Or in Arabic, a Maslaja, which is just the same thing in Arabic. Saraja is like Shraga, candle. That's an interesting point. But the idea of using a menorah from two perspectives. One is, do you need a menorah? Do you need a kli? Or can you just like stick the candles on the windowsill? Right? Do you need a kli for Nerot Chanukah? And two, the shape of the menorah. So the first point, do you need a kli? So this is very interesting. So we have a tshuva, the Revida Zahav, which is by the author of the Shtilei Zaitim, Rav David Mashuki. This is tshuva, the Revida Zahav. And he says as follows, very interesting tshuva. And Siman Hey, I didn't see anyone who made a big deal out of this. But he says, Shila, Nerot Chanukah mina din lasot on kol ner b'fnei atzmo, o kulan b'kli echad sheyesh lo piyot harbe. Should we have the Nerot Chanukah each in a separate, lamp, eight lamps, or should we have one kli which includes all of them? He says, Tshuva, may the ner sheyesh lo shnei piyot v'chule. So it's interesting. He says the Gemara talks about having a candle with two wicks, right? One wick coming out, a bowl of oil, one wick coming out one side, the other wick coming out the outside. And the Gemara says that they shouldn't be too close together. It'll look like a midura, like a bonfire, not like a candle, right? But you see from that Gemara that it's more lachatchila to put each one in a separate bowl, right? That's like we have to explain what the parameters are.
I thought it was even like, I didn't even know you could do that.
Well, you have to be very careful because there's conditions under which it's kemidura, you're not yotzei dechova, and there's conditions if they're far apart enough apart, you're yotzei dechova, but it sounds like v'diavad. It sounds like lechatchila, each one should be in a separate lamp, right? And he says, v'aminag be'elu mekobot lahadlik kol shmonad nerot b'chli achad. This is minhag, is that we have one candelabrum, one kli, right? Uvishnat 5,512 litzira, right? Allah bedati says, I had this great idea. Ladli kol ner b'chli b'fnei atzmo. Kiriti sheyesh li kosot zchuchit zakim. Zakim says, I had this great idea that we should light them all separately. We should light them separately in separate little lamps. And I had little beautiful glass lamps to put them in. V'arati matop ki yaseh kavod la mitzvah hazot la'drab ad lakad kol ner b'kos echad. He says that would be a hidur mitzvah. You know, each one with its own lamp. That's hidur mitzvah. He says ad lakad kol ner v'eseh kol b'layel rishon b'layel sheni ad lakad shnayim v'hayiti sameach simcha gdola al sha'ala b'dati zot ha'itzah tova. He says, I'm going to change the minhag. Everyone else is lighting one kli. I'm going to be mehader more to, you know, try to find new ways to serve Hashem, to make the mitzvah more beautiful by having a separate kli, right? Vayi balayla, vayi b'chalomi. Then that night, I saw in my dream, hinei lifnana yeri'a achad gvil yafa ad me'od. He said, I saw a leather parchment, a leather gvil. It's the whole hide, tanned leather sheet, which they used to write Sifrei Torah and so on, right? And he says, Meguhetzet umisurtetet sirtut, ready to write on, na'esh, lo ra'iti kamoa ba'akit. I never saw such a beautiful gvil writing surface. V'ya ketuv ba b'daf echad alef, ashuri b'daf sheni lamed. V'achar lamed, a fresh gishir ben shtei tevot, v'achar kach Hashem Elokim, ketuv ashuri b'tachlidi. He says, I saw on each of the sections of the parchment was written a different letter, right? What does it mean? He says, I saw the Shem Hashem, right? Shem Elokim, right? Shem Elokim and Shem Kel, right? So Shem Elokim is five letters and Shem Kel is two letters. And seven different letters, and they're on different. Each one is on a different sheet. Hashivah nerot shel Chanukah kenegdam. Mas chadalti. He says, I think that I would give me said the message in this dream that I'm separating the mitzvah into pieces. And the mitzvah has to be together. It's like the Shem Hashem has to be together. Chadalti medli below gimel. So on the third night, I went back. I went back to lighting in the menorah for Nerot Chanukah, right? One kli. Kadav jizeh shomei yishma v'yachadol yichdal gam menorah shenistavinu ba mikshah. And he says, you know why I think this might be? Because the menorah and the Beit Mikdash was one unit, right? Was one unit. So I got this idea and this dream that it has to be in one unit. Very fascinating thing. If you look at Rav Tzuberi, the notes on the review that's written by Rav Yosef Tzuberi on the previous page, and he suggests, take a look here, he suggests that you could sort of have your cake and eat it too by having a menorah with different branches, right? With eight different branches. That way, they're both separate and distinct, each one with its own kavod, and they're in one thing, miksha, like one unit.
Meaning you could have a bowl of oil, for example, and then just have different, meaning glass encasings within the bowl?
You could have a bowl that holds... Well, it's interesting. It sounds a little bit like miksha is like dafka. Like, you should actually, like, according to this, there's a big discussion in the poskim. If you hold that you need to light the candles in a kli, they're going to talk, we'll see in a second, what the classical, this is, people, nobody knows about this, Ravi does have. But the classical says that you need light in a kli. So the question is, but you want a beautiful kli. So if you have a beautiful silver or gold menorah and then you put little glasses on top, are you really lighting in the silver menorah? You're lighting in a glass menorah. So some say, no, those are batel to the menorah. So, but those who feel like, no, you have to light on the silver holder. That's the key. Not to put the little glasses on top and then you have the hidur of lighting in the silver menorah, right? They might feel that according to the Ravida Zahav, we put two and two together, if you light in little glasses, it's eight separate kelim. Right? You might have argued such a thing. According to those who feel that the glasses are not batel to the menorah, then the Ravida Zahav will tell you, it has to be one kli to include all of them together, right? And you would have to not use those little glasses on top to have them all together, based on the Ravida Zahav's dream. But those who hold that the glasses are batel, and you are considered to be mehader with the silver menorah, right? They would presumably say that that it's also considered to be one kli. So this is the reason I have this idea of having them all connected in one kli. That's not the classical discussion of using a kli. The classical discussion is one line in the Shari Tshuva on page 24. Quotes the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef quotes actually from his grandfather, Avraham Azulai, the Chesed L'Avraham, Binyan Klipei Beitzim L'Ner Chanukah. Shem Admat Kodesh, Shevi B'Shem Baal Chesed L'Avraham. Here we go, right? The Klipei Beitzim Uvtzalim En Madlikin. What does it mean? I mean, like, I take an egg, I take an eggshell, and I light an eggshell. I take an onion, and I make a hole in the onion, and I put some oil, I light in the onion. The Avnei Nezer talks about lighting in potatoes. I take a potato, that's Ashkenaz. I carve a hole in the potato and I put oil in there and I put a wick. And Avnei Nezer says, like this, it's no good, it's no good. You must light in a kli.
That's not considered a kli.
No, it's considered the food. Right? The food is not a kli. Right? It's not considered a kli and you have to light in a kli. So this doesn't go as far as the Ravid does have. You could have eight separate kelim. Right? Ravid wants you to have one kli, miksha, like the menorah, the Beit Mikdash. Right? So, This is quoted. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't even quote this. It doesn't quote it. Doesn't relate to it at all. But here it is on the page that you need the light in a kli. So it's a very interesting story in the Nefesh HaRav, page 25. There's what's printed, and then there's the inside story, the inside version. It says here Nefesh HaRav on page Resh Kav Vav. Yesh shemedabekin nerot Chanukah shel shava l'sofa safach alone. Some people just stick the candles to the windowsill, right? The Rav Salavitcher didn't even like people to mention this shita that you need a kli. All chumrah is a ridiculous chumrah. Doesn't make any sense at all. There's no source for it. You shouldn't even mention it in a shiur. Interesting. What's the inside story? The inside story is Rav Shechter told me. Who's the Yesh Shemadabakim, Nerot Chanukah al Safa Chalon? Who does that? That's what Rav Salavitcher himself did. And it's like, apparently he stayed when he came to YU to give shiurim during the week. He would just stick the candles to the windowsill. That's the first interesting point.
He stuck the candles to the windowsill.
Yeah, stuck the candles to the windowsill. The Yeshem Edabakim, Rav Shachter many times does this. He's Meremez, he's hints. He doesn't tell you who the people are, right? So in this case, the Yeshem Edabakim, some people do this, that was Rav Salvechik himself. And who are the people she's cured the Erut Elu that the Rav Salvechik got upset about? That was Rav Shachter. Rav Shachter said in the Shir on Hilchot Chanukah, he mentioned this shita. I didn't say we should follow it. He just mentioned this shita that we saw in the Shari Tshuva. And Rav Salvechik heard that someone told him that he mentioned this shita in the Shiur. Rav Salvechik got upset at him. You shouldn't mention such a shita. So that's just a very interesting little aside. Rav Salvechik felt that the whole thing was not worthy of mention. All right, interesting thing. What's the source? So far, what do we have? We have this like Birkei Yosef coming out of nowhere. Ravida Zahav, he had a dream.
So Rav Shachter suggested you shouldn't be doing that.
Rav Shachter mentioned the Shita and the Shiur, and Rav Salvechik got upset. That's the story. What does Rav Shachter think, that you should try to be Yotzei the Shita or not? That I can't say.
What did Rav Shachter suggest?
Rav Shachter said in the Shiur, he mentioned, you should know there's such a Shita. Just because you know how he always gives you all the opinions.
To do what? Sorry.
That you need a Kli. That you need the light in a Kli, like we saw in the Shari Tshuva. Not the one Kli for all the Nerot together. But that nobody even knows about, that Shita. That's our special treasure. Right, but and the Rav Salvechik thought that shouldn't even be mentioned in Shir. Right now, so what do we have for this? We have this Birkei Yosef coming out of nowhere. We have the dream of the Ravida Zahav, right? And he says, like the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. So recently, the source for this was found, because the Chida quotes from his grandfather, the Chesed Avraham, who says, I found an ancient Ktav Yad, an ancient manuscript, which described this practice that you need to have a kli, and he doesn't tell you what it is. They found the manuscript. They found the manuscript that says this idea of lighting in a kli, and it's a fascinating thing. This is the Kuntres Sod Hadlakat Nerot Chanukah, the Kabbalistic secrets of Nerot Chanukah, Miuchas L'Rabbi Yitzchak Sagina Hor B'no Shel Ravad, written by or attributed to, and the Ktav Yad says it's by Rabbi Yitzchak Sagina Hor, Rabbi Yitzchak the Blind, the son of the Ravad. That's very interesting. He was the Rebbe of the Ramban in Kabbalah. So he was a very, very big Mekubal, one of the chains in the link of the tradition of, one of the links in the chain of tradition of Kabbalah, one of the biggest Mekubalim ever. We have very little from him. Rabbi Yitzchak Sagi Nahor, the son of the Ravad. Ravad was also a big Mekubal. And Rabbi Yitzchak Sagi Nahor was his son. I guess he was blind. So he tells you in Alpi Kabbalah, he says, Atnai Arishon. And this is printed in the Sefer HaZikaron for Rav Huttner, right? By Rav Moshe Hirschler, who put out the Ramban, the Black Rambans. The Black Ramban, he put out a lot of Kitvei Yad. Moshe Hirschler, he found this somewhere, and he printed it. He says, Tnai Rishon Shehu Be'ezek Kli Ra'ui Ladlik. Which Kli should be used? He says, gives 15 different levels of Zekili Vanvehu. Gold, silver, metals, copper, right? Etc. Glass is pretty low on the list, right? But then he says further down, it gives the 15 levels. And he says the last three levels, klipat rimon, klipat egoz, Hindi, klipata alone, right? Pomegranate husk, walnut husk, Indian walnut husk, and the last level is an acorn husk to light in those. But he says, glima gimel klipat niskem tzarech she'asu l'shem l'shem kli. You would have to make them into a kli. Use them for something. Use them as a kli. It has to follow chotum avatara. An adult has to do it. Should follow that those halachot. Well, klipatam tzalim. When you make a brown in Ner, it must be a Kli. Miklei Beit HaMikdash. We learn from the menorah. Now, I guess you're wondering, where did he get this from? Take a look at page 28.
So should nowadays should we light with like a gold menorah? I guess that would be like
gold is the highest level of hiddur. Sure, who can afford it? Nehader beruch niyut. You might say it's better to give the money to tzedakah. That's a different question. But take a look at page 28 at the end of the kuntras. There's a couple more pages that are not here in the middle. Elu hen divrei Eliyahu zal shemasar l'Rabbeinu Yitzchak Saginar Rabbeinu Shlav Ravad uchtavti mashmo. Eliyahu Navi told Rabbeinu Yitzchak Saginar the contents of this kuntras. So, if we put the two together, the Rabbi Yitzchak's dream, Mishamayim, Eliyahu Navi coming to Rabbi Yitzchak Saginar, so we see maybe there's a connection here after all. So for those who are mehader to follow things al pisod, this makes a lot of sense. Especially now you see it's not just something that somebody came up with. This is one of the gedolei Rishonim, the gedolei Mekubalim, who has this practice. And in fact, that's the practice we saw in Teman, where they also used the menorah, right? And according to Rivi Dav, even it should be one complete entire menorah, you know, all connected together. So that's even a higher level than what the Rabbi Yitzchak Sagi Nahor was told by Eliyahu Navi. Okay, so this is what we'll get to. Hopefully next week we'll talk about the shape of the menorah and start talking about the place of lighting, the time of the lighting, see what we have time to get to. All right, chazak.